Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's a beautiful Saturday, so we hope we have some listeners out there. Finally, after almost 2 years, Tom Brown is making his appearance.
I know, I'm coming back.
All right.
They kept me in the closet for too long.
Oh, we tried, but it was always something he had that was more important.
Oh, yeah.
So this morning, we wanted to talk about something a little bit different, we're hoping, and we really do want phone calls. So the phone number, of course, is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Or you can email me, jstone@petsofinancial.net. And just fill in, answer some questions that we're throwing out at you. We'd love to have the feedback because phone calls, of course, always make this much more enjoyable. So before I came on today, I looked back at the last time we did this show, and it was with Erica, and that was the middle of February, actually February 22nd. Boy, has the world changed since then. It's crazy when you look at it and you think the market was hitting record highs, unemployment rates were at record lows, everything seemed to be sunshine and roses.
Yeah, Thursday unemployment was around less than 200,000. Now it's 1.4 million every week.
It's crazy. I mean, the unemployment rate was 3.5% through February. I didn't even look today because it doesn't matter, because this is going to be an optimistic show and not a pessimistic show.
Yes.
Because it's really difficult. And we know we talk about the media and how it tends to be more negative than it maybe needs to be. But we get caught up in it as well. We found ourselves, even though we really do believe, like Dave says all the time, optimism is the only true realism. But is it when you're always looking at death counts of corona, record high cases everywhere you look, people not being able to get out and do anything because they feel trapped in their home? I know personally when almost every call we start off with when you're talking with clients is, how you doing? You feeling okay? Are you able to get out and do anything? And it almost always starts with that negative tone.
Right. You know, focusing on what's the worst things going on in their lives today.
Yeah.
Right. Or the negative part.
And when Tom and I sat down before prepping for the show yesterday and a few days before that as well, but we started talking about it yesterday, and he brought up a point that it almost feels like people have started to lose hope.
Yeah. It just seems like we're starting to feel that this is the way life is going to be for the rest of our life, and our old life is gone, and staying home and having to wear a mask in public all the time, potentially schools not opening, not having football, stadiums that are empty, piped in applause. That's the way that life is going to be right now, and it can get draining, and it can cause you to focus. You know, we were to focus on the negative to the point that I was making the thing this morning that we're all becoming Eeyore, you know, and it's all that, you know, woe's me.
Yep.
You know,
we need some Tiggers.
Yeah, we do. We need to light our fire a little bit, and that's what we're going to try to do today.
Yeah. So I thought, let's flip this over and look at it a different way, though, because even if a lot of people are Eeyores right now, even if you don't agree with a lot of what's going on, it feels like people that are trying to do change have hope that they're going to fix something, or they wouldn't be going through this. Not everyone. I mean, not the violent out, not the riots, not that stuff, but the peaceful protesters, I don't know that they're out there trying to be negative. They have hope.
Right. They're trying to make a change because they're stuck. You know, their life is stuck, and they're trying to say, now we are where we are. Where can we make a positive change in the world? Whether they think their positive change is positive, but in their mind it is, and I think that's why we're getting more and more people that's prolonged protests instead of it lasts a week or two and then it dies down.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when it comes to hope again, Erica obviously isn't here as well because she had a little baby, and you look at the hope in a new parent's eyes, and you hold a little baby for the first time, and you can't tell me the world's not wonderful.
Right. Right.
I mean, when she brings that little girl in and she's smiling already, and she's only a couple months old, and Eric is beaming from ear to ear because her little girl is just precious. Those kind of things you have to stop and think. Do we really think it's hopeless, or is there a lot of hope?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more hope than we want to think about, because it's hard to believe that it can get better right now. And you need something to get that fire started, because right now you're not going to get that from the news, from the internet, anything. You're just going to get, this is the worst thing that happened today, and this. And I think the worst two words in the U.S. In the media or whatever is the words may and could.
Yeah.
You know, it may, you know, death rates may spike, you know, cases could. And we just, oh, there it is again, there it is again, there it is again. And you were talking about how our lives are getting, if you can go to work, right, then you go to the office, you come back home, and then you stay home, you do things, you might binge watch Jersey Shore for 3 hours and go to bed and start it again, right? And and it's sad, because then we get into that rut of, and that's how that hopelessness can really build in.
You know, and then I have to look at it a little different too, because one thing that I really appreciate about my husband, who has done this for longer than COVID, he starts our day off, and this is why technology is kind of cool. He'll find a quote of some kind and he'll spin it to something going on in one of our lives to try to make us look at it from a positive light. So we start off every morning, whether it's first thing bright and early, probably before half of the world's up, or, you know, mid morning or wherever, just saying, hey, you know, things are good. Look at this. Make this change. You can only control you. Be happy, because it's a choice. You can choose to be happy, or you can choose to not.
Right.
So it's a great way to start our day. I know some people journal, some people do other ways of starting
Bible verses.
Correct. Right. Yeah. But starting your day off with something on the positive side sure makes my day better.
Right. And I think instead of just letting the day happen, you know, you happen to the day. So you just like make a plan for the day. You're going to do something today. You're going to accomplish something. It doesn't have to be, you know, a change in the world. You know, it could be that you're just going to clean your living room, but it could be something that you're making some impact on your life today. That's in a positive direction. And I think that that's what we've been doing at my house. We've been trying to do things differently. We've been trying to go out with friends when we can, do things to look forward to something instead of it just the day becomes one more day after one more day.
Yeah, we have some really close friends that live in California, and they were supposed to come visit us in March, and they couldn't make it. But instead of letting that just be, oh, now we don't get to see them, we did a Zoom call, and we just got to see them in a different way. Not quite the same, of course, but we were still able to see them and connect. So technology has allowed us to connect in a different way. Not always good, I agree, because you can't give people hugs, and I'm a big hugger, and I think that's important. So, I mean, those kind of connections are important to people as well. But if you can still find, like you said, connect with your family out of this area, just do a Zoom call, super easy, or FaceTime or whatever.
Yeah, FaceTime. I FaceTimed with my daughter yesterday for a few minutes, and
it's fun.
It was fun. Yeah. And it was just like, it only took 2 or 3 minutes, but it was a great, you know, it was a good little thing. She able to show me something that was really cool that it happened for her today. And I think that's what we need to do as people, is embrace technology and these technologies, instead of denying that, you know, or thinking technology is the evil thing that's taking over your life. You can say, I'm going to embrace this new technology and have it help me
connect,
be happier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then beware of it.
Correct. All right, we're going to go to the phones real quick. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jennifer and Tom. How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Well, I see a virus got Tom. Meaning the embrace technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear.
Big mistake.
Exactly. I got COVID 2 years ago. I just didn't know it till now.
Well, I'll tell you, I guess stock-wise, maybe I'm doing okay mask-wise. I've got 3M and I've got Clorox. So, but the thing is, you know, the thing, what scares me, what a lot of people don't, you were talking about, like, Erica, she was the one who had the baby, right?
Yes.
Okay, she's beaming from ear to ear. Now, how do you know? She's wearing a mask.
Okay, well, wasn't wearing a mask at the time.
Dad, we can do the 6-foot social distancing so you could see it.
See, the thing is, I mean, people get used to things too easily, you know. They talk about the new normal. And we are gregarious animals. We are meant to look into each other's faces, you know. That is part of being human. And the thing is, too, you'll see somebody walking along the sidewalk, usually a young person, walking along the sidewalk or riding a bicycle wearing a mask. They have no idea why they're supposed to wear the mask. They have no idea what it's supposed to do. They have just been told to do it.
Right.
And so what is scary is that if people get used to this, all of a sudden it'll be a fashion statement, you know?
I think we're meant to look into each other's faces
and shake hands and hug.
Well, right. I mentioned that to somebody in the bank. I actually went in the bank the other day and I said, when did you ever think it was going to be okay for people to wear masks and come in the bank and it was accepted and you would say that they'd have to?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is about this technology thing. Now, I know that now there are cameras everywhere, right? We are losing our privacy, and I didn't like that. Now, you'd think I'd be the first one to be running around with a mask, because now I can hide my identity, you know?
Yeah.
And now all these people, it's great for the rioters, the ultra protesters that decide to burn down buildings. They're authorized to wear masks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Anyway, and that's the disconnect between society and the stock market is rather interesting. You know, the stock market seems to be doing very well, and I do not listen to the news anymore. I don't want to hear, you know, death counts and all that stuff.
So, Jim, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What are you doing for fun?
Well, I did. Okay, this pandemic, I mean, it got me. Even I got a laptop and the internet. But what I do is, ride a bicycle.
Good.
I like my bike, ride around. And for fun, my hobby for the longest time has been recording music. I played in band and stuff, so I'd record music. So listening to my own music and drinking a beer is my activity, and I like to read also.
Good. Well, good. It sounds like you're doing something that you enjoy. That's the main thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Good.
But I don't know. So my 2 cents worth, and I'm trying not to pay attention to the pandemic. You know, for one thing, I had a tremendous virus back when it was about 5 o'clock. I mean, 5 o'clock, five years old. I got polio way back. So I've lived through a few viruses. So mm-hmm. I don't think there's any virus strong enough to knock my ass off, you know, so.
All right. Well, Jim, we're going to go. We have to take a break real quick. But
take
thank
care.
You.
Nice hearing you all.
All right. You too. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll take a call from Alan. Again, please give us a call at 580-5436 or KIDO. All right. You know what, Tom? Just take it from me. 580-KIDO. 580-5436. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petzo along with Tom Brown this morning. Please give us a call. And this time I will get the phone number right, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Or you can email us, jstone@petzofinancial.net. So what we're talking about is we're going to be as optimistic as we can be about a lot of things that are on our minds and everyone else's probably at this point. We did at our office actually work from home a little bit, and we're continuing to do so off and on. The hard part about that is we are a very close group and we enjoy each other's time and company and bouncing ideas off of each other. That actually does help to keep us more optimistic. So it was a little bit different to not be able to see each other. Mm-hmm. We did do some Zoom stuff, but technology, of course, some computers, cameras weren't working well and, you know, things like that happened. But it's something that people can really do, but you lose that personal connection.
Yeah, you're working in a vacuum. And without that social interaction, mm-hmm. can really, again, kind of, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I hate working from home. A lot of people enjoy it, but it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And I enjoy being, I think I'm more productive when I'm out. I can function, I can get things done, but I think if I had to, and it was like, that's what I have to do, then I would
do it.
But if I have the option, especially doing taxes, I would rather be in the office. So
yeah.
I can see how some people that are forced to do it are, that can mm-hmm. be draining on them.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to the phone right now just because we're up almost to the top of the hour. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Jen. Is this Jennifer?
It is. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just honestly wanted to call you guys. I used to call and bug Kevin and Dave once in a while. I wanted to just give you a compliment. Your tone and inflection and toms, it's just excellent. You guys sound like pros, and I've never heard you guys on the show before, so I just wanted to say thank you for making my ears happy this morning.
Aww, we appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a very optimistic thing. Yeah. You just made us all smile. Thank you very much.
Oh, gee, you guys, we've been locked down almost 2 months. I get to walk on concrete for 2 hours by choice because I'm staying in shape, and it's just nice to hear a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. And maybe just go, on the next top of the next hour, could you guys go into, I think they're called DRIPs or direct reinvestment plans, how I get doing that. I've seen Charles Schwab is advertising on Fox News a $5 buy a piece of a, buy a piece of a stock. And
yes.
I guarantee there's fees. I've been reading the Motley Fool book, it's like 20 years old, but man, it's just a gem. And just maybe go into that if you guys are familiar with those.
We are, yeah, yeah. We are, yep. And the one thing about brokerage firms like the big players like Schwab, TD Ameritrade, they really do not have fees in trading individual securities now. It's actually something that's become very competitive. Who knows if that'll change with the merger of Schwab and TD? We don't know. But right now, there's no charge, and you can just hit a dividend reinvest on the stock you own, and it just reinvests and buys more shares. They're fractional shares. Not a big deal because they track cost basis now, but it's absolutely easy to do and no cost to you as a client.
Hey, I don't know about you, if you guys know, I'm in prison right now, and I think Kevin might let you know, be getting out soon, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jesus is number one. If anyone's out there and they need some hope, just say come in my life.
Yes, and when you hear the music, they're going to cut us off, so...
Will you just go into more depth, and do I have to fill out all the forms, or is it real seamless now online? Hey, thank you guys, and God bless you, okay?
You too, Alan. Take care.
Bye.
All right, we are out, and we'll be back at the next hour. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO. Good morning and welcome. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petzo this morning, along with Tom Brown. We are obviously taking phone calls, which is the fun part, as we've had a couple. We're going to rub into Dave if we can always beat him. That is the goal at the office, is to get a few more calls.
We need five more calls.
Five more? You're just making stuff up, huh?
Yep.
All right.
Why not?
Okay. Phone number 580-KIDO, 580-5436. What we're talking about this hour is how we can make changes in our own lives. Again, trying to look at things more optimistic. Like Tom says, if you can take control.
Yep. Take action. Do something today to make today better than it was yesterday. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but just you're in control of your own happiness. So do something about it.
Yep. So it's funny. I never thought in a million years every client that we speak to wants an RV.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
It's like the hottest thing out there right now, and bicycles. And they call and they've never camped. They've never thought about doing anything like that, but they just bought an RV.
Oh, yeah. I had a client the other day. She's 73 years old. She was going to buy an RV. She went on a trip with a family member, and now she wants to buy a boat. It's just people are just wanting to get out.
And do something.
And that idea of getting out and leaving but not having to sleep on the ground or something, but getting away from their house, I think is such a strong emotion that people are, Nelson's RV, I'm sure, is doing real well today.
Yes, I'm sure they are. All right, let's take a call. Terry, how are you?
Well, good morning, darling. How you doing?
I'm good. I was waiting for your call.
Well, I usually don't call in until later on. I want to see what y'all are talking about so I can have some fun arguments lined up. So.
I said that. I was going to win the pool. You blew it, Terry.
And I said, but he likes to talk Colin when Eric is here, and she's not here. So I thought, yeah. So
well,
how are
and
you?
I still want pictures.
I know. I told her. We got to see Charlotte. When was it? A couple
a week
weeks?
A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
The 15th.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It has.
But the positive stuff out there, I learned something this morning. I was trying to do a little tongue-in-cheek thing for y'all, and the phrase "abandon all hope, ye who enter here," I had attributed to the entry to the maze of the monitor in Greek mythology, and here it's from Dante's Divine Comedy.
Ah.
Boy, you are a lot more intellectual than me. I always think it was Dr. Seuss.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a financial. Never mind.
Did you notice how we both went?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, wow, exactly.
But I'm going out to my favorite news source, you know, Zero Hedge, and came across an article that says young Americans have used 33% of their total savings during COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a wonderful thing that they have savings.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And 33%, oh, heck, they're going to get, what did they say, they've got 4 months worth of that they can live on if things are stay this bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the savings rate, Terry, this is something that I found amazing when I looked at a chart just recently. Saving rates chugs around about 7.5-8%, right in that range. Mm-hmm. And it's spiked, which basically looks like most people saved their stimulus instead of spending it. Mm-hmm. It spiked up to 32.2% in April.
Yeah. And where are you going to spend it? But that's, we'll talk to the governor about that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is the credit card percentage. They're paying off their credit cards.
Yes.
And the staying out of debt thing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes life so much simpler and easier when you're not worried about that, having to go sleep on the ground. Oh, wait a minute. That was a different thing you were talking about.
Well, yeah.
If you have too much credit cards,
you
will
either
end up sleeping on the ground.
But there was another fun thing out there. I saw Oregon's new laws or new rules for handling COVID, that the bars close at 10 o'clock. So I think I'm going to move to Oregon because they obviously have a version of COVID that doesn't come out until after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's
okay,
nice.
That's
midnight,
good, huh?
Midnight COVID.
But there's just a couple of fun things I thought.
Yeah. Make us smile. We appreciate that. That's what we're looking for, Terry.
Well, that's my job, just to create a little hate and dissension or, you know, create pass a little fun around. That's my bumper stickers and all. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, well, that's what I had for y'all.
All right, Terry. You have a great weekend.
If I don't, it's my own darn fault, but thank you for the thought.
All right. Take care.
Good day.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you for the call, of course, Terry. We always enjoy talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along, a couple things that we think about, too, when we're talking with clients is now's the time to actually look at your financial life, too, and see how did this affect you. Were you prepared for something, not a pandemic, of course, but for a time when you would not be able to work for a few months? Did you have that savings built up?
Right.
Is this an eye-opening time for you to look at that as well?
Yeah, it's a great, you know, from 2008, 2009, there was a big deal that the federal government did for the banks where they forced them to do stress tests. And they'd see if, you know, if worst thing could happen, is the bank going to be okay? And this is a great stress test involuntarily for people. And so given the circumstances, it's a great time for reflection on your finances, too, to see, okay, where can I improve things and make things better so in that the next time I come around, I'm better prepared? And again, we don't hope that or think that there's going to be another thing like this happen, but it could. And obviously it shows that when things happen, they happen quickly now. So anything you can use this time to improve yourself, again, gives you hope for the future. That, okay, next time this comes around, if I wasn't exactly ready, I can be more ready now. And then if, like Terry was talking, if you have the ability to reset on, you build up some savings because you aren't spending money, then pay off some debts. You know, start working on a debt snowball to get things, you know, take advantage of this situation and what it's done for you financially if you're in that situation where cash is building up at the bank.
You know, it's interesting. Tom says something like this will probably not happen again. But, you know, it's interesting when we look back on, I've worked with Dave in 26 years. And you think about how many unexpected things have happened during that period of time. No, not everything looks the same. Like they, the fool's words, right? This time it's different, but every time it's different.
Right.
So it kind of contradicts the way it sounds, but it's true. Something that causes a complete disrupt of your life will happen again.
Right. And sometimes it's just your life. It doesn't have to be
the world.
Yeah. Or this nation.
Correct. So when you think about trying to prepare so that you're not in a state of complete fear and panic because of everything going on. Plus, you have no safety net.
Mm-hmm.
The stress test is a great analogy because some things will happen always. So if you have that 3 to 4 months set aside,
right,
just in case money to cover your expenses, it gives you a lot more freedom and a lot more comfort during an extremely stressful time.
Yep. And I think that it is prudent that we are always doing this time. It's just that now we have more time to think about it,
mm-hmm,
that we can improve those things. And also, it's a good time to, you know, give a overlook all your finances and make, mm-hmm, sure everything looks good and that you are contributing to what you need to contribute and you are thinking ahead. Whenever there's a disruption, it's always a good time to sit back and reflect again.
And also take a look at what you're saving for. Is it for retirement? Is there something that you really want, that you want to take a trip once the world opens, mm-hmm, back up and you're able to do so? What is the purpose of what you're saving for? I think one of the questions I'm asked, there's several that were asked frequently, but one is, how much do I need to retire? It used to be everyone threw around, oh, if you don't have $1 million, you can't retire. If you don't have X amount, you can't retire. But it's kind of a moving target because we have clients that $1 million would probably go so quickly that they'd be back to work in 5 years.
Right.
We have other people that wouldn't spend a dime of that $1 million because they have different objectives, different desires. Some want to travel the world and see everything they possibly can, have 2 homes, have nice, everything is just, mm-hmm, top notch. Other people say, you know, I love my backyard. I go, right, out and I garden. There's, right, not a lot of cost to,
yeah,
that.
I just talked to a potential new client on Thursday, and we had a long conversation, and he said, you know, their big deal is retiring here shortly and being able to take his razor and go up in the mountains, and that's their big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very similar to how my wife and I are. And I go, well, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have no debt. They've been great savers. They've lived within their means, and, you know, it isn't a thing of when and where. It's just like, well, it is a thing of when because he could retire today. But it's a deal where you're good, and there isn't a lot of overthinking you have to do about it, and that's a good place to be.
It is. But you know what? He did a lot of hard work to begin with.
Exactly.
Sometimes it sounds like we make it, when people get to that point, that there wasn't all this back work to get there.
Exactly.
They came out, they planned, they saved, they kept their debt, they lived within their means so that they could have the opportunity to meet these goals. The big thing for us as financial planners, when you sit down, especially with younger people, is they don't see retirement happening.
Right.
To them, it's so far in the future that they don't even want to think about it. But the coffee analogy that Dave throws around, mm-hmm, all the time really does prove that. The quicker and earlier you start, the easier it is for you to get to that goal.
Exactly.
If you wait till you're 50 and say, I want to retire at 65, and you're piled in debt and you, mm-hmm, haven't started saving, it's going to be very difficult for you to achieve that.
Right. And if you're overspending, then that means you can't, then you're undersaving. And,
mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm,
then everything has a counter reaction to something. So if you're buying the brand new a Raptor pickup for $85,000, you know, and then the house, and then we're taking another mortgage out on the house so we can go to Hawaii, and then we're taking a mortgage out. We actually had somebody call in, they took a car loan out to go on a trip to Mexico. I'm just like, my,
yeah,
eyes hurt because they were rolling back in my head so fast.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing that, you don't have a plan. You're not thinking ahead. And that's where someone like this client, or potential client, was thinking ahead in a way that we're just going to live this way, mm-hmm, and then it's going to work out. And mm-hmm, I think it's an age-old thing that isn't novel, that we just came up with this idea. It's been around for a long time. It's just that it's harder and harder for people to do it because they're constantly trying to keep up with their neighbors and their friends and their family to have the newest and best things. And being in a consumer society, that's one, can be one negative part of a society like that, is that you are, you know, looking over the fence and you're looking in the driveways of your neighbors and, mm-hmm, and trying to, in the back of your mind, being a little, mm-hmm, bit envious.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talk about is contentment. Contentment is interesting because I was actually talking with my daughter and she said, well, Mom, that almost sounds like you think I should settle. Once you get to a certain point, you're content and you don't strive to grow more than that. And, you know, it was interesting when she said that. So we actually took a moment and looked up the definition of contentment, because what does that truly mean? and it's a state of satisfaction. So that doesn't mean you stop. You just need to continue to move. So to me, when you look at that, you say, okay, I'm content, but I'm not, will you stay at a constant state of satisfaction if you're not growing and improving yourself?
Right.
The competition should be internal with you to grow you as a better person and not look at the neighbor and go, ooh, I like that new truck. I want one.
Right. Right. It's a different paradigm. You have to look at internally what, and I think people have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying to be content, you know, I told you the other day, I had a little thing with my family. We were at dinner and I said, what is the top three funnest times or happiest times you've had in your life? You know, and we went through different things and, mm-hmm. and I think we need to sit down and really evaluate what really makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's do that. And let's form our life toward those things. If our life isn't having the newest, and it truly isn't buying the newest car or the best computer or whatever, if that truly doesn't make us happy, if that really doesn't make us happy, then let's stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And let's focus on those things. And a lot of times it's gardening, it's watching our grandkids, it's fishing, it's whatever, and it doesn't have to be something we're buying, and most of the time it isn't.
Right, and you know, that's the thing too, living for today is, we hear that comment a lot. It's like, well, what am I gonna do? I mean, I'm living for, I gotta have fun now because who knows when I'm gonna die or who knows what'll happen. And you know what, that's not our decision. We don't know. We don't know mm-hmm. when that'll happen, but that doesn't mean that you're completely irresponsible and don't plan at all.
Right.
You have to sit down and say, if I save a little bit, have some life, enjoy yourself, because we see people both ways. There's sometimes when you meet with clients that have lived through the Great Depression and they've seen their parents and the struggle and everything that went that, they won't spend anything above the very, 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 very bare necessities. Mm-hmm. So they choose to live poor, even though they could live a little bit better. But you know what? That was their choice.
Yeah. And it's funny, some people strive to be successful financially and give up everything, and then they want to not live on the money so they can give it to their kids.
Yeah.
And you go, you know, that's your life. But it also is like, where are we going to get where the thing that really drove us is to do this, but now we're going to turn around on our kids and give them a big thing of money. And mm-hmm. a lot of times that's not a gift.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of times that can be a burden, and you can get in a situation where you're not allowing your children or not allowing them to really live the way they should be because you've given them too much too early.
Right. So I think we need to take a break. So we're going to go ahead and go to commercials now. But when we come back, we're going to continue talking a bit about making goals and planning for your lives. But please give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Pezzo today along with Tom Brown. Please give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. And I did want to mention, we did get an email. Michael, thank you very much for catching us and clarifying a point about the caller asking about the DRIP program. Also wanted to know about Schwab Slices, which we are familiar with. And it's kind of an interesting thing. You get to buy companies in the S&P. And it's in fractional shares because you can invest with as little as $5. So it's quite an interesting way to get your toe into the water of investing. Another thing about technology, which is great, is that you can invest with $5 now.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite impressive to me to think, wow, you can actually start this and get to learn about it with small amounts of money. It's amazing.
Right. And Fidelity has a similar program.
Yeah. Too. They do. You know, I kind of look back at, every once in a while I have to do this just because it's fun. I look back at when I first started working with Dave, and it was in 1994. The way that he was able to check quotes on online, because there was a computer, but it was called a Quotron system. Literally, he had to input each stock that he wanted to watch one by one, and every once in a while it would just wipe it clean and he'd have to do it again. And the delay, I believe at that time for the price, was either 20 or 30 minutes before they would update to the current price. And to change the page, there was this big like lever that he'd pull, and it would switch the page. To do stock trades, we actually had to call them in and say, we want to buy this, buy that. And you were on hold forever because nothing went quickly. So you'd get on with the traders and you'd wait for someone to get on. And I actually was able to work with someone at a clearing firm. It's a large clearing firm here called Pershing. They're around still. And he showed us how we could write code. So it would be like you'd have to put in buy dot blah, 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 whatever it was. Write code, it would submit to him, then he would submit it over to Pershing. And that was quicker than calling and being on hold. But we actually learned how to do trades by writing code. And now you look at it and you can buy stock for $5 and get right. fractional shares. It's crazy. We never wanted fractional shares because it was a nightmare tracking the basis for the stock so that when you went to sell it, you'd know how much you owed tax for. Mm-hmm. It's just so amazing to me how far this world has come. So I, of course, embrace technology because we can block trade and do all sorts of fancy things now. But all of that does is benefits the client.
Because everything's cheaper.
Correct.
Quicker.
Yep. And there's not this big spread between what you can buy it for and what you can sell it for. It's so tight now that it's extremely fair.
Right.
All right. Let's go to the phones real quick. Aaron?
Yeah.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. So I just started listening to this station. I just recently moved here with my family from out of state.
Welcome.
And so we have been working really hard of getting out of debt initially before we started putting our money into a lot of savings or any other investments. And so my question is this. I am not technical savvy when it comes to investments. And so we officially got out of debt except for our home as of this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Besides basically putting into a 403 plan, like through our work, where they match up to the 4%, I don't even know where would you say to start for people that now, you know, we have a savings little nest egg. So we've got that 3 months you guys were talking about earlier.
Good.
Already put away. And so now we've got some extra money since we've placed all of our debts and paid them off. So we're just wondering where to put our money now.
Good. You know what? Income dependent Roth IRAs are amazing. They grow tax free. You don't get a tax benefit today, so it's not coming off of your taxes, but it grows tax free. And
right.
after you meet certain requirements, it comes out tax free. The
right.
benefit to that is your 403B. I'm assuming you're a teacher or you work in a hospital or
I
something.
I work in the medical profession.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Perfect. I figured so. So that's great too. But any money you put in that, as long as it's on the pre-tax side, will be taxed when you take it out. So having some money later that doesn't have that penalty, basically, to owe the tax is a great thing for you.
Okay.
So you can, and to do that, you can do it through your, potentially through your employer. They can offer if you're not using the Roth option, you can do the Roth at your employer too.
Right. I know they have that option. They told us that. I just didn't, you know, for right now, I was putting into the option of just the one where they tax in the end.
Right.
So
how much are you, what's your percentage that you're putting into your, the 403B?
So I'm just, right now, I'm just doing to match my 4% max.
Okay. So typically there's a lot of different ways you can go with this, but what I usually tell people is, and again, it's dependent upon your income, if you have a higher income or not, but I'm trying to get to a goal of trying to get 10% going in to your, as an intermediate goal to get to 10% going into the 403B, and then on the deferred side or the what you're doing already, and then start contributing anything extra up to 15% into your Roth.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
But it depends on your income, too, because if you have a higher income, then you're getting a bigger tax break out of putting the money into that deferred side. If you're in the lower income, you might want to flip that over. It depends. So it would be good to
talk to
somebody.
I mean, I don't know what you mean by higher income. I mean, we make decent. I mean, we're about 110.
Then you still qualify for a Roth. And I always feel like you have to pay tax at some point, so you don't want to pre-tax everything. So Roth,
right.
definitely.
Right. Right.
A little bit at least.
Okay. So 10% in the regular and then anything over that up to 15 into the Roth.
That's what I tend to tell people if they're in the... Are you married?
I am.
Yeah.
Kids? Do you have any children?
Yeah, I do. Five kids.
You know what I would do? Then I would change that. I would go to 5% into the traditional, what you're doing, and then do the next 5% into the Roth. And then as you go along and get raises, then you just increase each one as you get a raise up till you're putting in 15%.
Oh, okay.
Because you're getting the benefits. You're getting a lot of benefits from the tax code from being married and having kids. That's driving down your tax rate. So having it's more beneficial to get as much money into that Roth too, and play both sides.
Okay. No, that's great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you guys too. Thanks.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about doing some more financial planning for your future. Please give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petso on this beautiful Saturday morning along with Tom Brown. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. A couple things that we wanted to talk about a little bit too is explain a little more what financial advisors do and why we feel that we're an essential part of your financial plan. The reason why is during times like this, especially during times like this, when things get scary and you're uncertain of what to do, we will react. We're humans, we're emotional by nature, and it's very hard when there's so much negative input to not want to make a change of some kind. Like Tom was saying, you want to react, you want to take control, you want to do something to make a change in what's going on in your world around you. And a lot of times that goes back to something that's easy to control. And that's what you're doing in investments through your 401k at work or your 403b or something along those lines. You can go in and make changes really easily and you think, you know, this is going to get worse. There's no way this can get better. And people will either stop contributing to their investment plan. They'll go in and make a large change in their investment plan, or they'll do something that may not be, that could be catastrophic.
Right. Yeah, you could go the wrong direction and make a change because I'm going to make a change for the better, and you're actually making a change for the worst. Mm-hmm. Because especially on, I'm going to quit putting money in because the market's down,
right,
is the worst.
Correct. I mean, and that's the thing that we try to do. We do try, and I'm going to put try on that because I'm not a robot. Tom's not a robot. We all sit around a lot and we do talk about how we're feeling today to make sure that another reason like why we could like to go in the office, right? But we try to look at the data and turn off the emotion. So when we make a financial plan for a client, if they were to come in 10 years ago, today, whatever it might be, we do go through what is the goal? What is your ability to save? What do you feel about investing? So we ask questions to try to understand how they react to certain situations. That doesn't mean that we don't build a plan to reach the goal. Because the one thing we can't do is let their emotions dictate how you invest completely. Because if you do, you'll never meet them.
Right. We always say that the investments will take care of themselves. It's our behavior around the investments that actually cause us to be successful or not. And in these type of situations or these times is when our behavior or emotions can pull us in the wrong direction, even though it feels so right to sell, to be, that's what people will say, let's go to the sidelines, let's wait until it gets better. I mean, it all feels right, but it is completely the wrong thing to do.
The best thing during these times is if you have a financial plan, go back to it in your mind. You don't have to go back and review it or go over the paperwork. Call who helped you set it up and find out if it's still what they think you should be doing. And a good financial advisor will not let you make changes based on how you feel right now. But with the plan in place should be, any money that you need within a year shouldn't be invested anyways. Right. And there should be a safety net. There should be investments that are generating income. There should be things in place that allow for uncertain things that will, like I said, since 94, I can name off a million things that have happened that could have thrown your plan off. But if you let it do what it's supposed to do, let the investments work, that will get you through these times. The best thing is to actually start contributing more, not stop contributing.
Right. I've seen the people have been very, I would say if, and I think you agree, I would say that we've seen a lot of courageous people in this time mm-hmm. period where, especially early, where they were saying, I have some extra money, I'd like to invest it now. You know, they were, instead of sitting on their hands or wringing their hands, they were sitting there going, I'm going to take action. I'm going to run toward the fire mm-hmm. and I'm going to put money in, and they did and it was very successful for them and that's not to say that it's not going what the market's going to do in the future and whatever it's that they took action and they tried to improve things and took advantage of the situation instead of just watching from the sidelines.
Yeah. And that's very difficult. It really truly is to go mm-hmm. against everything you read. I mean, if you pull up any browser out there, any main page, Yahoo Finance, whatever it might be, everything on there will say, the guy that called the bottom of 2009 is telling you to do this now, this and that. I mean, everywhere you look is telling you you should go against what we're telling you to do.
Exactly. And Dave has mentioned this several times, is that you will gravitate to things that basically agree with what you're thinking. So mm-hmm. you're going to look at the headlines, you're going to see that and go, oh, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking too. And that's right. And they're right. And anybody that says anything different, you're going to go, that isn't going to work. So be careful for what you're reading and make sure you're taking a step back and critically thinking, am I liking this because it agrees with my fears? Or am I looking at it because it is really wisdom? Because a lot of times if it's trying to confirm some fears, it's probably not the right thing to do.
Right. And don't let fear run your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have calls now, too, about gold. It's funny how every time the market gets shaky and they have talk of inflation or whatever happens, people throw out, shouldn't we own some gold? I look at this and say, when Dave started working, and I always go back to that because he's got the longest track record of all of us, of course, and gold was at 800 an ounce. Friday, it was about 1900. The Dow was also at 800 at that point, and it crossed over 29,000 here this year. So from an investment perspective, what is better for people? Yes, you do have to hold on, but gold's volatile too. Mm-hmm. It's not like it sits there and coasts.
It's actually more volatile.
And so you sit there and people feel like it's a buffer of right. some kind, and it's not.
Yeah, it's a given that you're going to make money. It's a given that it's a good thing to buy. Mm-hmm. Is it all this stuff? And I think people unconsciously just believe that. They don't look at the data. They just, gold's a great place to put money because I always have gold. But people do not invest well around precious metals because they will never sell.
No.
It goes up and they could make a profit, but instead of selling and buying or selling high, they just want to, then they're reading gold's going to 3,000, gold's going to 5,000, and they will never sell. So they end up just watching it go straight up, straight down. They never do anything with it. They never got paid anything to hold it. And it's just a pretty rock that they have around their house and never did anything for them other than them patting themselves on the back because they had gold in their safe.
And isn't that interesting how people can take the volatility of gold for some reason, but investments that pay them to own and do something and grow in value, they can't. It's just strange to me how mm-hmm. the human mind works, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But all right. So, one of the things Tom touched on a bit ago when he was talking about clients that save all their money to give to their children and how it can be kind of a negative thing sometimes for kids. Mm-hmm. We have seen several family situations, unfortunately, where people lose a parent at a younger age and it's very unexpected, or something happens from an accident or a rare disease or something comes along that you just don't expect, and they find out what their parents had actually saved and they now inherit. People either go one way or the other. A gal said something the other day to me that really hit. She said, I don't want to not honor my mom and the money that she saved. Mm-hmm. I want to know how to do this right so that I honor her.
Right.
And they do a lot of times feel guilty for inheriting money from a situation like this. It's not, they don't feel, they're not happy to get it. It's mm-hmm. more of a burden. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch the majority right. of people and how they react.
It is. And I think it's a dynamic between parents and kids as they mm-hmm. grew up. Because we have other clients that they inherited money and they were able to live off of it. And they're doing things and they're traveling and they're doing all these things. And they're really enjoying their life. And they didn't see it that way. It's an interesting situation where some of them feel so guilty about it
mm-hmm.
Don't want to be the ones that screwed it up, right? And lost all the money that their parents saved and, like you're saying, have that inheritance guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to sit around on it, not do anything with it, put it under the mattress, and then give it to their kids. And
somewhere along the line, it will go away.
Yeah. Spend it, right? So it's just like you can honor your parents by enjoying the inheritance. And I think that's more of an honor. And I've had a lot of people giving money ahead of time so they can watch their kids use it mm-hmm. and enjoy it mm-hmm. than waiting for them to die so then they can eventually get it. It is interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes kids will also share the thoughts of, boy, I wish my parents would have lived better.
Right.
Because they had so much. I had no idea that they were saving so much for me. It's an interesting dynamic. And then there's others that just spend it all before you even know what mm-hmm. happens. And that's a choice, too. But it's interesting how the majority of people feel honored to get it and they want to honor their parents.
Right. Which is a great thing want to honor your parents. But you don't want to do it to a thing where you're catatonic about the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And I'm just going to put it in CDs. I'll never lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and another is a loss of a spouse. We deal with people frequently and they have their whole retirement planned out. They're going to retire at a certain age. They bought that RV and they're going to drive around the world. And unfortunately, they lose a spouse. And the change of plan happens very quickly. So it's one of those that you look at and it's hard to see because you have everything lined out. You can only do so much. But when we get back, we're going to talk about a couple ways to make sure that you're in a position that if something were to happen to your spouse, that doesn't change your life completely. But we do need to take a break. Give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petzo along with Tom Brown this morning. We are almost out of time today, but we do have time for calls. If you would like to, please do at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Just to wrap up a little bit on planning for your future life as well as retirement. Sometimes when we work with some clients that have planned out everything perfectly, they've got everything lined out. But the one thing they didn't plan for is losing a spouse unexpectedly. And if there's a pension and Social Security, you need to remember you don't get both Social Security. So if something were to happen to one of you, you keep the higher amount only. Normally, pensions will at least decrease in payment if there's a survivor benefit. Sometimes they stay the same. But make sure when you're getting close to retirement that you take the time to sit down with a financial advisor, truly understand the benefits that you have. Because if you misdo that pension, and I can say this for my dad, he wasn't married, so there was no survivor issues, but he got one payment from one of his pensions because he passed quickly. And if someone would have sat down with him and talked to him, they would have clearly seen that potentially his health wasn't great and there may be some planning that they could have done. So there's things that you can do with an advisor. That's what we do. That's what we're here for. That's what all financial advisors should help you with, is to sit down and help you go over those options before you retire. Please don't retire and then come in and say, did I do this right?
Right. Or go and file for your Social Security and then say, I'm wondering if I should have taken Social Security when I did. Mm-hmm. Do it. Those are major decisions. And if you've taken Social Security and it's out a year since you took it, then there is no do-over. So,
and
Social Security is a big deal to plan for. And there's a lot of ways to look at it. So you need to really, especially if you're married, you need to make sure that you're doing that ahead of time. Just like you said.
Yep. And unfortunately, divorces do happen. Not as frequent as they used to be, but who knows, after this COVID thing, maybe they're going to increase a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are things that you need to work into the plan as well. If you know that you're going through a divorce, I've had a couple that were very, very open and amicable. They came in together. They sat down. They said, how does this division look? Others aren't quite that clean and cut. But if you can get someone to help you walk through it to make sure that you're valuing pre-tax assets as the same or different and adjusting for the taxability of those versus non-taxable. There's so much planning that goes in with that too. I know that's an emotional time, but money is always emotional. Everything we're talking about, inheritance, is an emotional thing. Divorce, retirement, everything that you do around this. But if you can get some guidance, a lot of times people who have done this for years and years have seen different ways and they can just give you some input. So please look that up if you're going through something traumatic right now and you need some help. We're here, or there's other great advisors out there as well that will help walk through this with you. All right. So now we do need to talk about some things that are boring.
More practical.
I always tell Tom we're not going to talk about taxes because it's not fun. But we have to take just a few minutes because we only have a few left to talk about some of the changes this year because they're big.
Mm-hmm.
Extension of tax deadline was one. Yep, Tom did taxes all year.
July 15th, just in time to start again.
Yep. No real break there. They actually stopped the requirement of taking minimum distributions from IRAs for just this year. They actually let you roll them back in as well if you've taken it up until the end of August, right?
Yep, August 31st.
So you can put that back if you don't need it?
Yep.
Remember,
if you had taxes withheld on the distribution, then you can't get that back. That's just going to be reported on your taxes. You'll get it at tax time.
Yeah, it also does show as a tax. What's interesting when you do a withholding, you need to understand that is a distribution from your IRA well. It's so that is taxable even though it's paying tax.
Right. So you're going to have it'll just basically offset.
Right. There were some other distributions that were allowed this year. Also, if you had a hardship because of the coronavirus or COVID, you can take a distribution up to $100,000
from the 401k or IRAs.
And have 3 years to pay that back.
Pay it back without penalty. Yeah. Instead of 60 days, they extended it to 3 years. It's very complicated. Make sure that you're working with an accountant on that because it isn't very cut and dried how that when you get it paid back, to make sure you do it right so you don't get a penalty.
Yeah. And also the RMD start age is no longer 70 and a half. It's now age 72. To take a distribution as a non-spouse, if you inherit IRA money, that has to be all taken out within 10 years.
Right. And that's probably the biggest thing that happened this year.
And the Roth, though, think about this. You don't have to take any distributions until it's all out in 10 so it can grow.
For 10 years. And we're almost, unless there's some situation, we're kind of pointing everybody toward that, right?
Yeah. And I think that's on IRAs too, though, right? You don't have to take it every year, right?
You don't have to take it any year, which really lends itself to more creative planning when it comes to inherited IRAs and Roth IRAs because typically before you had a mandatory distribution you had to do every year. Now it's going to be kind of, I can take some this year and not take any more next year. And so it's going to be a little bit, you're going to have to stay on top of it a lot more than you
and make sure you get it out within those 10 years because I don't know what they're going to do to you if you don't, but
if it's
I'm sure there'll be
50% penalty, then that's a big penalty.
That's a big deal.
$100,000. Right?
Yep, for sure. You know what? Thank you all for listening in today. We hope you enjoyed having a little overall wellness as well as financial wellness. Tom, it's been great. I'm glad you were able to do it again finally.
Yeah, I look forward to doing it again sometime in the future.
Great. And also, you know, get out and enjoy yourself. Do the virtual happy hours. It's fun. You know, call your people up on Zoom or FaceTime. And if you can't get around people, go do something. Get out and hike and enjoy your life.
Right,
enjoy
bye.
Those kids. It's a great day to do something fun. Enjoy the sun. Thank you for listening. And we'll be here next time.
Bye.